A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, this is Man Baggage. My name is Russell Kane. This is the area where we get men, boys, non-binary, trans women, everyone in between. We drill into their heads and we try and work out what is masculinity. Doesn't matter what a biological man is. What is masculinity is going nowhere. I don't care what wobbly bits are hanging off your body. Newsflash, masculinity is going nowhere. And we are trying to, the same way they sequenced DNA in the 90s, this is as big a project. This is Watson and Crick, but for the masculine mind. How does men's brains work? How does the masculine mind work? And how does it control various aspects of our society? Important aspects of our society. Danny Dyer about to drop a documentary saying that it's really hard to be manly now. And what does manliness mean? I can't wait to watch that. This is a conversation that's sadly going nowhere. I want to become redundant. I want the conversation about masculinity to stop, but still it continues. And today I'm joined by Sam Prince, Your Highness, from Made in Chelsea, who's also, as well as obviously you'll know him from being on TV and a media personality, is an entrepreneur in the area of green industries. Would that be a fair description?
Yeah, I've always been fascinated by sustainability, fascinated that every single day we are damaging our planet in some ways. And I feel like it's become accepted. And I feel, as since I was a young age, I've been completely obsessed with the fact that something needs to be done about it. And I feel like not much is done. I think it's very hush-hush. People have become more concerned, I feel like, over the last couple of years. But yeah, it's always been an obsession of mine since I was at school.
And are you starting businesses in this area? Or are you looking to invest in wind or renewables? Or are you looking to go be a consultant and go into businesses and how they can streamline their use of packaging? If you were to commercialize your interest, what sort of form would you dream of that taking? Or what are you doing already?
So I've just actually recently sold a tea company, which I owned for 3 years. And it was tea at a reasonable price. But at the same time, we're pushing sustainability. All packaging is sustainable across the board. Not just that, I have a houseplant company called Bella, and that is completely sustainable. And we're just about to offset all our carbon emissions completely. I think it's very difficult for startups to try and be sustainable. Cost for everything is going up, especially with everything that's going on in the world. It's very hard to be a startup, live and thrive, but also be sustainable. That's just been my main focus point with all companies I've been involved with, is just making sure that I'm doing my tiny bit so my footprint is clean and not completely dirty, which I think is so easy to do.
Talking of dirty, we're also joined by Lindsay Kane, my wife. Lindsay, welcome. We will be talking about sustainability and green. I should probably declare my bias. I don't really put my politics into my stand-up. I take the piss out of everyone equally, whoever's in the news. I am, however, a Green Party member, so I don't want that to like be dug up and say that I was pushing an agenda. I've never, ever pushed green stuff. It's just a coincidence. Sam's ended up on the show. It's another coincidence that fans of Man Baggage will know we did a special just a couple of weeks ago about something called eco-anxiety, which seems to disproportionately affect people aged 18 to 25, but it's affecting everyone aged 18 to 80, which is where you're thinking about the environment. You know we have to make changes. You know you should be doing more. And you get so anxious, you end up doing nothing. So it ends up producing the same result as Gary and Terry, who want the planet to burn down in May. You end up accidentally allying with Brexit bulldog Gary because you're doing nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I can actually relate to that. When I was at school, I remember we were watching David Attenborough and we were talking about global warming. And it only came to my attention when I was about 13, the fact that there is actually this huge crisis going on, which is almost completely, people are very silent about, really. It's very kind of, not many people talk about it. And I actually do relate to that eco-anxiety, because you're always thinking, so wait, in 50 years' time, is the planet going to still be a safe place like it is today?
Wow.
Wow, didn't even think of it like that.
Well, this is the end result. So let's talk about one of the ways we can be better, not just to the planet, but to each other in relationships, in all aspects. But I just thought it was interesting that you're coming from this vibe, Sam. We're talking about altruism today. If you don't know what it means, we're going to use two definitions, because otherwise we'll be locked in an ethics and philosophy discussion about whether something is genuinely altruistic. So we're going to go with having or showing an unselfish concern for the welfare of others, meaning, yes, I've got a green park boat, green thing in my window. Am I showing off a bit to look good? Probably, but I'm doing some good stuff at the same time. So we're allowed to include, we're including that today.
Okay.
We're including slightly fake ass altruism as well. Not cynical, but having or showing an unselfish concern. But I think true altruism, listeners, is very rare, where you'll do anything to hide the fact that you've done good. You don't want anyone to know, so you want it to be the truest, purest altruism. One of my favourite people ever to have done that in another series I make called Evil Genius was Bernard Manning, the racist, posthumously cancelled comedian who behind the scenes was sending money to African charities to help people of colour abroad, but did everything to hide it. He was good in private and an arsehole on screen. A weird type of inverted altruism. Little pub fact for you guys. The first thing I want to ask you, Sam, is where we always start. It's a difficult question for guests, but just answer in terms of your, you know, mums, dads, friends, aunties, uncles, cousins. Are men or women more altruistic in your experience?
I think men.
Really?
I think men try and play it cool. I think they try and not open up about certain things. I think they just generally try and keep it between them to themselves and don't like to shout about it. But it depends. That's such a difficult question, because
it's in your experience, so it's totally valid.
So this happens all the time, isn't it, where people give to charity and then don't tell anyone. Then people are like, they're such selfish pricks with all the money.
That's true altruism.
Like, they're giving loads to charity, but you don't know about it, wanker at home who gives fuck all.
Yeah, but even if you do know about it, it would still be altruistic. If you give 100 grand to Bernardo's, it's still an act of altruism, yeah. Even if you like do sad face on Facebook and milk it for likes, as most cynical CUNTs would, me included.
Yes.
Here I am donating to the needy children. Oh, my abs are out in the next picture. Come see me on tour. Three stages. Oh,
I hate it when people give to like the homeless and they'll film it, like giving them someone, you know, it's like, why do you have to film that moment?
But I refuse to shame it, because if we lived in a culture where people were narcissists, obsessed with looking good, who cares? If money's being handed out to the homeless, I can tolerate an attention-seeking picture of someone doing it, as long as they're actually handing the money across on a regular basis. I'm all for this is the other thing we need, even with the green issues, we need to leverage the selfish side to create unselfish outcomes. If we all try and think we're going to turn into nuns and give away all our income and live with windmills in a green paradise, it's fucking half the country never going to be like that. If you want to speak to more fiscally conservative people on the green issues, for example, and tell them there is a cynical, exciting, amazing new way to make money called wind farms, called sustainability, join me on my self-obsessed capitalist journey. Great. Who gives a shit? There's more windmills. There's more sustainability. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Altruism can be, I'm all for leveraging selfish for unselfish. What's wrong with that?
I also feel like with social media nowadays, people feel like they have to fucking document everything. And I feel like, yeah, I actually don't hate it. I feel like people are documenting so many things because they're doing good. And I guess the more good they do, the more clicks and likes they get. So yeah, I totally agree. I think it's a good thing.
It's fine to mock it. That's my job, and it's fine to mock it. But let's not. Imagine if the person who's currently getting likes for handing out £100 to home, isn't Mr. Beast on YouTube, like one of the biggest YouTubers in the world? Isn't that his whole premise? He goes and does amazing stunts, handing money out to people and films it, and then in turn earns millions of pounds. You know, it's a virtuous circle.
I've never even thought of it like that, actually.
I think it's great.
I think women are more likely to be like, see, I'm very lucky because I've got my mum and dad and, you know, both sets of grandparents when they were alive that were very selfless and would do anything for anyone. So, but I do think generally women are probably more caring because they're pregnant and they bring children to the world. I think they have to put themselves aside. So I think it's easier for a man to not care as much sometimes.
Not for much longer. Two male mice just had a baby. Be scared, ladies. Baby's in the bum coming soon. I'll have a baby with my bum. Right. It's coming, ladies. So once a synthetic womb is invented and a realistic vulva sex toy, ta-ta.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
We're out the window.
I mean, that's a whole nother subject, by the way. Why the stigma of men's sex toys? Producer, make a note of that. I mean, of women, you can go to a woman's house, open a drawer, and it's full of vibrators, and everyone's like, Emma Gerd, what toys have you got? Let's discuss them. Open a man's drawer, and if there's a fake latex bum in there, no one speaks to him for a week. That's not right, is it?
Yeah.
That's sexism.
Russell, what's in your coffee?
No, I'm just saying, it just occurred to me. I can't bear injustice. I want to be free to pound a fake latex botty. Anyway, so do you think people that are too altruistic... I'm sorry. Do you think...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What about if altruism is seen as weakness? You know, people that are, we all know them, that are, I just spend my life doing things for others. I'll live in rags and I can't afford to feed my own family, but it's worth it. You know, people that take it too far. Can it be a weakness?
Oh, I think it probably could be a weakness if they're constantly trying to please other people. I think it probably could. It probably could be quite draining if they're not looking after themselves.
I think that it's an insecurity. Like, I know someone that would put on Facebook, be like, oh, it's hot outside, so I put a table out with lemonade and juice for the postman and the binman to drink. Just do it. You don't need to announce it. No one cares. I just do that good thing because you want to do it. No, but you don't need to announce it. And it's just like, what a wanker. And then I mute them then.
How do you balance your desire to help others with the need to take care of yourself? If you're programmed that way, Sam, as you clearly are, you're throwing your weight behind sustainability and greenish. I'm assuming you're like that in your personal life as well. Can you get quite sort of hung up with what other people are getting, and does it lead to neglecting self-care, or do you find that balance quite easy?
For sure. I think I'm in a relationship now, and I feel like, and also in past relationships, I give everything to my relationship because I'm so in love with this person and I want it to work out and I want it to be the most perfect magical relationship the whole time. I try to live like my relationship is like I'm living in a fucking movie and I'm like, it needs to be perfect the whole time. And I think for sure you can almost get drained and you forget about looking after yourself and you forget about how to be, for me to be the best possible version of me, I need to spend some time by myself and work on myself as well as my relationship.
It's a difficult one, Linz, given you've only just got your head around the meaning of the word altruism. But do you think that genuine altruism doesn't exist? I said we weren't going to get into this, but let's get into it. By the way, whole books have been written about this by biologists and psychologists, so it's not like this is an easy question. Is it possible to do something truly, truly selfish? They can't even find evidence for it anywhere in the animal kingdom. So anywhere or an animal... like he seems to be doing something for somewhere else, there'll be another benefit, like it's getting some sort of bug for its guts, or it's getting something from the hippo that it's pecking. And it's the same with people. So even like Bernard Manning, let's say, my example I gave earlier, was he getting something, because he was very religious, where he thought he was being let off the hook for some of the vile things he was saying? Was he getting some sort of spiritual cleansing? Is true altruism even possible?
So interestingly, there's an episode in Friends, and it was obviously going way back into time.
I thought you were going to bring in Wittgenstein or Sartre then, but let's do Friends.
Does anyone remember the episode where Phoebe was like doing something, Joey and Phoebe were like trying to do something nice without feeling good about it, and it wasn't possible. Every time they did something that benefited somebody else, it made them feel good, and therefore, you know, they got something from it.
Well, that's amazing. You've literally sourced an episode of Friends which totally goes to the core of the argument. I thought shit was going to come out of your mouth, but it's on the money.
No, but it's true. So a few weeks ago, you know, you did something really nice for me, and then I was like,
keep it clean.
Yeah, and then I was like, I felt guilty of how lovely and selfless it was. So then I was like, right, I'm going to do something selfless for somebody else.
Hang on a second,
because I know that it will help them.
You should have just done something selfless for me back.
No.
Well, it got passed on to some other fucker.
But then it made me feel really good. It made me feel amazing. And I was like, I don't think it is possible to not feel like good after doing something kind or doing something nice.
But there's nothing wrong with getting a buzz and feeling good after doing something selfless, is there, Sam? What's wrong? I mean, it's a bit Puritan to feel bad about that, isn't it?
I think if you're doing it for a buzz, I think you should be doing it because you want to help someone else. You want to, but at the same time, when you do help someone, you do get a bit of a buzz. You do feel good.
No, that's what I'm saying. So I did it. Not for anything.
For
I did it because I knew that this person. No, I knew this person. It would have really helped them. But then seeing their reaction and getting emotional, it made me emotional. It was like, oh my god, I feel amazing doing that because it meant so much to that person.
You know, when you give a gift, and obviously the gift's great, but sometimes the best thing is when they actually open the gift and seeing the reaction.
Yeah,
yeah, I love that. Are you better at giving a gift than receiving? I get slightly embarrassed when someone does stuff for me. Fuck knows what that says about my psychology.
I get awkward, especially when I'm poorly or like whatever it is, or someone's trying to help me. I get really embarrassed and I constantly say thank you. I feel guilty that they've done something for me.
Yeah.
Even on my birthday last year, I was like, my girlfriend was like, we need to go do something, do a big party, arrange something. Absolutely not. We went to Islington to this quiet restaurant. So I was like, I don't want to be around anything. I don't want any attention because I just feel fucking guilty that I'm taking someone's time. I'd rather not do that.
Right. Yeah. So your balance definitely is further skewed at the selfless end, to the point where it is ever so slightly just eating at your ability to enjoy self as well. Because most people will be further along that scale.
Yeah.
Not so anxious that they couldn't go for dinner. I'm with you though. Lindsay knew me. I've got better in the 10 years we've been together. I would like you 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I couldn't bear even an acknowledgement of my birthday. It made me feel weird.
Yeah.
Compliments. I'm not good with compliments. It's bizarre, isn't it? I'm a comedian. I should be lapping them up all day long and want them. But I'd rather people just come and see and then just, you know.
You like it from me though.
I agree. Girlfriend giving compliments, girlfriend doing little bits, different story. But when someone else who I don't spend all my fucking time with does something for me, I'm like, oh God, like someone brought me coffee the other day.
Is there an intimacy to altruism then for you? Like, it's strange that we both have that same reaction for it. It's like it breaches some sort of intimate threshold for us. Maybe that, without psychologizing too much, maybe it wasn't there in abundance as children, so we're not as accustomed to receiving it. I don't know. Certainly my dad, you know, knuckle-dragging Neanderthal Dave from Essex. It wasn't really like, you're my baby boy, you could do whatever you want. It was like, life, shit, good luck, I'll be in the shed.
That's very similar to my dad. My dad was like, get on with it, don't cry, crack on, make sure. No, hey, I'm not here saying I had a tough life because I fucking haven't at all.
No,
I'm saying like,
we're not talking about toughness. We're talking about this inability to receive generosity from others. It's interesting.
Back to your point, I do think it's quite intimate. When it's your partner and they're doing little things, I think it's really quite sweet. But when other people, someone brought me coffee and it's like, oh God, don't do that again.
I'm the same.
What, it's now bizarre. Do I have to go down the shop and get you? It's weird.
But even when I'm on a shoot and like there's no time and I'm having my makeup, I still bring sometimes, am I exaggerating, Linz? A travel kettle, a pot of coffee and a self-plunging cafetiere mug. A TV record.
And a boiled egg.
So that I could... there's a runner whose only job in the world is to get some experience, hang out with me, bring food. And I'm like, no, thank you. I've brought my own boiled egg and my own coffee. I mean, that's extreme, isn't it? Jesus. Yeah. Dad, why don't you come out of the shed? Okay, guys, we're going to take a break there. That's the end of part one.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.